Section 2. Ideas. Module 7. Achievement. Key points. Mises shows that it is possible to construct a wide range of political arguments from his ideas about the nature of money. His arguments about marginal utility and ordinal comparisons have proved broadly persuasive. Mainstream economics uses both, and even Marx's axioms have been recast to incorporate marginal utility. Mises extended his arguments in later works to cover topics he was unable to address in 1912. Assessing the argument. In The Theory of Money and Credit, Ludwig von Mises commences with theoretical distinctions about the precise nature of money that one reader called seemingly arcane. He then cleverly uses these distinctions to extrapolate strongly argued political insights, ranging from ideas concerning government policy about bank reserves to the business cycle. Mises is at his best when he incorporates money into Menger's general framework of marginal value theory. In so doing, he provides a stunningly original and intellectually satisfying way of looking at money, simply as one commodity among many, and to which the laws of economics, including the concept of marginal utility, equally apply. Similarly, Mises' arguments nimbly turn the tide against the view that states create money. Again, they improve greatly on Menger's arguments on the same point. In contrast, as Mises noted, the statist school of German economics probably reached its high point in Georg Friedrich Knapp's State Theory of Money, published in 1924. There are some points in Mises' treatise which he revisits and revises in later works, such as his 1940 work Nationalökonomia, National Economy. In some of these passages, critics, including Don Patinkin, correctly noted, Mises accidentally slipped into the sorts of circular argumentation about the value of money which he sought to correct in the work of earlier writers such as Menger. Meanwhile, Mises' criticism of quantitative social science, even as practiced by his own students, has important legacies today. With rational choice theory now firmly rooted in political science as well as economics, his trenchant criticisms of the assumptions underpinning these mathematical approaches in social science have led to a tradition of resistance warriors leveling similar criticisms today. Donald Green and Ian Shapiro's influential 1996 volume Pathologies of Rational Choice is one example. Achievement in context. To take just one of Mises' significant concepts and show how his contributions have shaped later economics, we might look in more detail at marginal utility. From the time of Böhm-Berwick on, marginal utility and the theory of value were seen as rejoinders to the challenge of Marx's own theory of value. Many of their titles explicitly reference Marx, such as Böhm-Berwick's 1896 Karl Marx and the Close of His System. This is equally true of Mises, who wrote many of his works as rejoinders to socialism. Nonetheless, most economists, before the theory of money and credit, assumed that utility must be some sort of quantity. After his work, and that of Vilfredo Pareto, who advanced similar arguments around the same time, economics could no longer treat utility as a cardinal quantity, that is, one measured in absolute instead of ordinal or rank-ordered numbers. One result of this development has been the widespread adoption of indifference curves. These are graphs showing different quantities of two goods on each axis, say, cars and chocolates. Each point of the curve represents a combination of cars and chocolates which render the same utility for the individual. That is, the person has no preference for one point on the curve over any other point on the curve, Every point represents an acceptable car chocolate distribution. Furthermore, any point not on the curve could yield improved utility by being moved on to the curve. One car may represent quite enough cars for you. A second car may carry increased insurance or parking costs, whereas a move to the curve may demonstrate you might still prefer one car and a certain number of chocolates to one car alone. So indifference curves capture both marginal utility and the ordinal nature of utility, which can be ranked but not measured absolutely. While marginal utility was formulated as a rejoinder to Marx, however, economics writing in the tradition of Marx did not formulate their own response to the new thinking until analytical Marxists such as John Romer produced constructions of these derived from Marx on marginalist foundations. Limitations. After he had arrived in the United States, Mises said of the theory of money and credit that at the time he wrote it, "I knew that we were on the eve of a great war, and I wanted to complete my book before the war's outbreak." This prediction turned out to be accurate, and it meant that Mises deliberately cut short his work on the book. It would be only later, and in different works, that he would succeed in producing the more systematic elaborations of his broader ideas. In his recollections, Mises said, if he had not been as hurried, he would have started with a theory of direct exchange, that is, bartering. Instead, he decided he would limit his scope. In a few points only, I would go beyond the narrow field of strictly monetary theory, he said. Both in the theory of money and credit, and subsequently, Mises remained a strong critic of the mathematical turn in economic scholarship. Though his criticism was rooted in his strong views about the impossibility of measuring utility, many critics believed this represented a limitation in his thinking. Those of his students who took the further step of rendering their thought into mathematical form founded research projects which continue to dominate academic economic research today. In comparison, Mises's The Theory of Money and Credit can look like an elegant dead end. Duke University economic historian Bruce Caldwell characterizes Mises, at least in the views of many economists who have worked since the middle of the 20th century, as the archetypal unscientific economist. The Economist makes a similar criticism about Mises' views of the business cycle, wondering if he offers no more than a counsel of despair, suggesting that the authorities do nothing while a crisis blows itself out. To this, Mises might well respond that the best possible course of action might be for the authorities to do nothing, however politically unrealistic that may be. End of Section 2, Module 7. Coming up next, Section 2, Ideas, Module 8, Place in the Author's Work.